welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is for sure. Join us now from West Virginia. We got Ken Perdue, president of the West Virginia AFL-CIO. Ken, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Charles, and thanks for your patience with me.
Ken, it's always, this is one of the interesting things about doing a radio show, doing a live radio show, with people that have a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes, you know what? Hey, that's part of radio, and that's cool, and we're great. We're good with that. Ken, you're out and about. What's going on, man?
Well, we are coming up on 30 days of our 60-day legislative session. And today we got word that tomorrow will probably be the day that either one or both of them, prevailing wage, abolishment of prevailing wage, and passage of the right to work will be vetoed and back into the legislative hands.
Okay. So this is not dead. The conversation continues.
Well, the conversation's a little one-sided right now, Charles, because they won the fight. And Governor vetoed the bill. One of them will be vetoed this afternoon, one will be vetoed in the morning, so I'm not sure which one. And then they'll be put back for a legislature, and they have, as we work every day, and we've got a group of people up here that's been up here since the first of the session that will work on veto votes. And we'll see what happens, but it's expected that we don't have enough votes to stop the override of the veto, so the legislation will come passage and give them the fact.
Ken, let me ask you a question. You know, I mean, you normally don't get elected to a state office in the House or the Senate if you're dumber than a box of rocks. They have to know that this is going to have a negative impact on jobs, on business, and on the economy in West Virginia. And yet, for ideological reasons, they're still willing to go through with this?
Yes. You know, the interesting thing, if I was in school and I went through to kindergarten and up through to 12th grade, if I paid as much attention to the teacher as what they have paid attention to us and our testimony and what we're saying, what you just said, I would have failed at an early stage of my career in school. Well, they're not paying any attention. The objective is totally is to ignore what we're saying and to pass things like right to work, abolish prevailing wage, and those things. The tough ones are out of the way, as they consider. There's a lot more. There's a lot mean legislations coming out now that we're trying to figure out what it means. But they don't care. They say it's going to create jobs. It's not going to hurt unions. But I mean, one of the places that they used was the state of Indiana, who has passed right to work for the second time. And what they did, they've actually increased union membership in that state,
right,
which is fantastic. But what they won't say, they can't get it off the tip of their tongues. It was the current president of the United States that saved the auto industry, that has kept the jobs in Indiana, made more union members. But you know what was announced today? It's all about job creation and not this panacea. The perfect world is going to be created when right to work. There's an announcement today that Carrier, which is a union heating and cooling company, are closing down their plant in Indiana, which has 2,100 employees, mm-hmm, moving it to Mexico.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
So the panacea is, okay, there's a one-way ticket going from here to Mexico, and that's what we're going to get. They're just not listening. They have no intention of listening, and it's the frustrating part with this whole discussion we have here. I don't mind getting into a fight, but I hope I get into a fight that somebody's going to pay attention to me, and maybe I win a little bit, but there's just no chance to win at anything at all with this group.
You know, when you're talking to the general public in West Virginia about this, Ken, I mean, when you're talking to, you know, the guy or gal who's working maybe a couple of part-time jobs, or maybe if they're lucky, they got a 40-hour job. What What are they saying about this? Do they understand it? Do they get it?
Let me go back to what I've said earlier. They don't care. There is nothing that we have been able to say, whether it's about job creation or the lack of job creation. It's going to be good for the union movement. It is going to be good for membership. Everything that we can say to them that we know that are absolute facts, they have no intention of paying attention to anything that we say or that we do. And that's the frustrating piece of it is that, you know, in a year or so when we come back and say, I told you so, as we say, this, we came from the gallery last week before Right to Work was remember in November. And that's what our slogan is going to be from here to this November is that they're going to wonder why we're coming after them because they have, this is all about abuse of working families. And they're taking food off the table. They're going to take clothes off their kids' back. Their intention is to do damage to the school system, safety, I mean, just state employees, everything at their intention. That's they've got the votes to do it and the willpower to back it up.
Wow. Well, I mean, all of a sudden, November becomes very important. And I am sure that there is a game plan there. And I'll tell you what, Ken, when we come back from break, we'll talk about November. We'll talk about educating people and getting them out to vote and how we can help people remember in November, okay?
Remember November. Thank you.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
You must have thrown 1,000 pitches teaching him to hit a home run. Spent countless Saturdays running routes so he could learn to hit an open receiver. Endless afternoons teaching him how to hit the three-pointer. But how much time have you spent teaching him what not to hit? Teaching boys that all violence against women is wrong is one of the most important things a man can do. Learn how to start the conversation at teachearly.org. Brought to you by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Charles Showalter, host of the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I want to tell you about an organization I'm proud to be part of, the Union Veterans Council. My friend Will Fisher runs the program. Will, he's a Marine and a member of the Painters Union. Will and the Veterans Council bring folks together and advocate on issues that are most important to veterans, especially the need for good jobs and a strong, fully funded, fully staffed Veterans Administration. Additionally, the Union Veterans Council works to remind folks that an attack on workers is an attack on veterans, and veterans and workers are one and the same. When vets like myself get out of the service, we're looking for good, family-supporting jobs. That's a union job, and the Veterans Council is at the tip of the spear in the lead for these fights. In short, the Union Veterans Council stands for a better life and fights for those who have fought for us. You can learn more about the Union Veterans Council at www.unionveterans.org. That's www.unionveterans.org. This Veterans Info Minute is sponsored by actohio.org. That's actohio.org.
The tap water in Flint, Michigan is not the only thing that stinks and leaves a horrible taste in one's mouth. The governor and his agency heads who caused the sudden appearance of toxics in the water that the families of Flint drank and showered in for a year and a half are even more disgusting. Republican Governor Rick Snyder, a laissez-faire-land corporate ideologue, supported the switch of Flint's water source from Lake Huron to the cheaper stuff in the contaminated Flint River, claiming that this could cut some $2 million from the city's budget. Never mind that the corrosive river water caused lead to leach from the city's pipes into the water that every resident uses. For more than a year, Snyder and his agency heads denied that this might pose a health problem, even mocking locals who complained about the foul liquid coming out of their taps. Recently, however, a citizens group called Progress Michigan uncovered internal documents from Snyder's budget department revealing that in January of last year, the agency's honchos were so alarmed by Flint's toxic-laced H2O that they supplied coolers filled with bottled water for their employees in the Flint office. Yes, Snyder's budgeteers were not about to drink that poisonous stuff themselves. A January 2015 advisory from the budget agency's headquarters assured the Flint office that pure bottled water will, quote, be provided on each floor of the Flint office as long as the public water does not meet treatment requirements. This cynical, self-serving move came a full year before nationwide public outrage finally forced Snyder to provide safe bottled water to the regular people of Flint. This is Jim Hightower saying, the Flint water scandal is a perfect expression of the right-wing mentality of self-entitlement. To them, quote, public service means elites serving themselves. The actual public be damned.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
This year, firefighters will battle thousands of wildfires around the country in hopes of containing them. But a single ember that escapes can travel more than 1 mile, where it can ignite and destroy your home or community. You can't control where the ember will land, only what happens when it does. Prepare, protect, prevail. Get fire adapted. Learn simple steps you could take now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company, that's for sure. Joining me now from the West Virginia AFL-CIO, we have Ken Perdue. Ken, welcome back.
Charles, thank you for allowing me to participate, buddy.
Ken, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate what you're doing. You know, despite the fact that you got some knuckleheads in the line, you know, and I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. You know, this is counter to what is good for the population of West Virginia. And whether or not they realize it or not, 6 months from now, a year from now, you're going to be sitting there saying, you know what, guys, gals, I told you, and you didn't believe me. But let's just reiterate this for people. Right to work for less means less wages for everybody. It's a 20% pay cut all across the board. You have less cops, less firemen, and less paramedics protecting the community because you have less of a tax base. You have more and bigger potholes. You have more and bigger problems. You have more kids in a classroom for teachers to teach. There is less funding for the projects that you want. It's as simple as that, folks. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. There's no, well, it's not going to be like that here. And any politician that tells you it is lying to you, to your face. And quite frankly, they don't care because they're making more money in campaign contributions from the businesses that want right to work. It's simple as that. And if you don't believe me, look at all these other states where it's at. Those states have the highest level of poverty in the country. They take more federal tax dollars than non-right-to-work states. So you can sit out in front of your double wide and tell me just how bad it is because we've got a president that doesn't have the same skin pigment as you. And that's the deal. I'm just saying. And Ken, I know you wouldn't say it that way, but you know, I got to tell you, man.
I can say it that way.
You know, I'm not mincing words. These politicians are taking advantage of the population of West Virginia for their own benefit, and oftentimes it's those campaign contributions or those junkets to Las Vegas or whatever, and it's sickening.
You make a point that I want to get to the very first thing. As we're going through legislation to abolish prevailing wage for all state projects, as we pass right to work, and you just said it well, it is about politicians that want something and politicians that lied to come in here and actually stealing their livelihood away. People are members that are really realizing that now, and they have, without a doubt, awakened a sleeping giant in a lot of ways, things that we could never be able to do. As we're cutting the wages, our Senate President, Bill Cole, flew his own personal jet. Now, let me say it again. His own personal jet to California, to Palm Springs, as an invited guest at the Koch brothers about 2 weekends ago to participate in a forum. What I consider it is a forum to tell the members out there that are going to put money up for his governor campaign that he has been successful in abolishing prevailing wage and passing right to work. So for the price of his own personal jet, he is going to get a lot of money from the Koch brothers and other billionaires who are right-wing, egotistical individuals that want to take over this country, whether it's city by city or county by county. They want to take it over and make it what they want it to be, their dream cities. And he did it without, supposedly, in his words, I didn't do it politically. But why would you fly out there to meet the billionaire buddies unless they're going to bring contributions in? So it's just so interesting how arrogant they are when they'll do something as obvious as that. So something we say, and then, okay, oh, by the way, he did fly up to Palm Springs and spend the weekend with the Koch brothers. But they're passing what the Koch brothers' agenda is and what Alec and others, right-wing individuals that say that this is what they want the country to look like.
Ken, you know, I got to tell you, the Koch brothers pale in comparison to the Fricks and the Mellons and the Carnegies and the Fords of the old days, the old robber barons. They don't have the benefit of the iron and coal police. And if anybody doesn't know what those are, look them up in Google. But, you know, labor has been here before. We've done this before. We've done it under worse conditions, and we were very successful. And I got to tell you, you know this as a state chair as well as anybody else. Last year, union membership in Michigan and in Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama and Florida went up. More and more people were joining unions. Younger people were joining unions. The fight for 15, people standing up for their rights, even without the benefit of a union, are getting it done. And we've got people that are out there doing everything they can to try and make it more difficult for people to join a union, make it more difficult for people to vote, make it more difficult for people to exercise their constitutional rights. And it's not going to work. It's going to be effort. It's going to take effort, and it's going to take elbow grease, and it's going to take determination. But I got to tell you something, Ken. We got a lot of very good, very well-trained, very determined individuals that are going to make the right thing happen. That's all there is to it.
Well, we had a rally at the end of last session last Saturday, which was about 7,500 people, and that was in West Virginia. That was a pretty good sized rally.
Yeah, that's a steel worker. That's a mine workers rally.
It was a good rally, good participation, good activism. And when the state of the state the governor gives on the first day of session, which was January the 13th, on a Wednesday afternoon, we asked our members to come out. And the whole first floor of the Capitol, from House to Senate, was full of good, hardworking union members that were caring about it. They showed up. When they show up and they see the arrogance of this, this display of greed, and when they see it, it makes them angry. And some of them maybe said some things they probably shouldn't have. But most of them will never forget the fact that this leadership is taking their wages. It is taking jobs they have said we're going to eliminate up to 30% of the state jobs because we've got too many employees. We're fighting over PEA, which is public employees health care, and I just heard a number today that it's going to cost new state employees up to 25% pay cut because they have to pay more for PEA. They got to see them. And every day in the session, including today, we've got different organizations in here. They're in here to talk to the legislators. Getting to talk to legislators is getting tougher because they're starting to hide, but they can't hide forever. As I said earlier, remember in November, and that's what we plan on doing. And we've got a very good start to a campaign that has been fueled by the arrogance and greed of individuals here in the West Virginia legislature.
There you go. Ken, we got about 2 minutes left. First off, how do we find out more about the West Virginia AFL-CIO?
Well, it's www.afalco.org. We've got a very good new website. There's a lot of information on it, a lot of contact information for legislators, and we will keep it updated as this process here goes through. And anybody that needs the information, and especially if anybody wants to organize, give us a call. We'll be glad to get somebody out there help organize and create more union members in this state.
Right. Absolutely. And don't forget, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be part of the union. And you're not alone. 60 to 70% of the population of the United States today, according to Pew polling, if they had the opportunity to join a union, would. So, like I said, you're not alone. Ken, you know, I got to say this. There's going to be some difficulties here in the future. It's going to take some work. I've got faith that you and the other union folks in West Virginia can get it done. If there's anything at all we can do to help with that, you know we're going to do that. And
I know that, Charles. No, thank you.
And it's our pleasure, Ken. And I got to tell you, this is it's a great thing to do. But you know, Ken, it's people get it and they understand it. Sometimes they just got to see it for themselves. Yeah.
And that's what we've been able to do: bring people up here. And you know, when you we've got some fantastic quotes from some of these legislators. And I remember a senator that's not up to 18, he's been the goose that laid the golden egg a couple of times. He actually looked up in a gallery on the passage of the right to work bill in the Senate. He looked up and the free riders were in the gallery. And then he got booed.
Yeah.
And then when they passed the prevailing wage in the Senate, the final passage of it, he said West Virginians make too much money. That was his exact quote. They make too much money. And those things will be remembered to the rest of this legislative session and then on beyond, because we will continue to repeat it and remind our members and the public out there that just how little they think of it.
Yeah. Ken, listen, we got to get going. Do me a favor, stay on the line as we transition into break. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.